It is good for me to be back with you today. I've appreciated this time of sharing with you, and I welcome you. This is the first time that you've been here since I've been here in the last three Sundays. It's good to have you in our midst, and trust that you've already been blessed by being in our service this day. I would like to turn to Matthew 13 this morning and read verses 44, 45, and 46. And that number that we just did, that Mary Lou played and picked out, is very appropriate for the message. In fact, it's very appropriate for last week. We talked about children of God last week. And we're all children of the King. And today we're looking at understanding the kingdom. The kingdom of heaven, verse 44, is like treasure hidden in a field. When a man found it, he hid it again, and then in his joy went and sold all he had and bought that field. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like a merchant looking for fine pearls. When he found one of great value, he went away and sold everything he had and bought it. May God bless his word to our hearts this morning. I ask you a question. How much would you take for your health? For one of your children? For your good name? Most of us don't really appreciate the important things of life until we lose them. Because there are some things in life that are priceless that we may not realize their worth at the time. When Joseph Haydn worked for years as a composer for a certain Prince Paul in Germany, the prince's advisors constantly advised him that the money could be better spent on fortifications and arms. And they were making the point, what good is music? What good indeed? Prince Paul has long since been forgotten. Germany has had many wars, but the music of Joseph Haydn lives forever. Jesus said that the kingdom of heaven is like treasure hidden in a field, which a man found, and he covered it up. Then in his joy, he went and sold everything he had in order that he might buy that field. You know, back in the days before banks and safe deposit boxes, it was a common practice to bury your valuables in the ground, especially in times of insurrection and war. Persons would bury their valuables to keep them safe from forces that would be invading their territory and their country. Even during the American Civil War, when the southern cities were being burned, persons buried their valuables in the ground for safekeeping. But the interesting thing about this parable is that the man who found it wasn't even looking for a treasure. He just happened to find it. He just stumbled upon it and it had incredible good fortune. It was a find of a lifetime. He was so happy that he could not contain himself. And he sold all of his belongings so that he could buy that field. Jesus added, "The kingdom of heaven is like a merchant in search of fine pearls, who, on finding one pearl of great value, went and sold all he had and bought it." Now, in the ancient world, a fine pearl was as valuable as gold is to us today. Unlike the person who stumbled upon unexpected treasure, the pearl merchant, you see, was searching diligently for this fine, perfect pearl. And after much effort, he finally found this pearl he had been searching for. And he too was filled with great joy. In fact, he, like the other, was willing to sell all that he had in order that he could purchase this possession of a lifetime as his very own. But Jesus was saying here that no matter how much you may own, no matter how glamorous you may be, no matter how high your IQ is on the IQ scale, if you have missed out on the kingdom of heaven, you have missed out on the one thing in life that exceeds all others. If that is so, then don't you and I think we should know something about the kingdom of heaven? And furthermore, don't you think that this should be our foremost priority, to appropriate that kingdom for ourselves? If we are children of God, and if we're looking forward to our heavenly kingdom, we should know something about it. So what can we say this morning about the kingdom of heaven? By the way, you may read in your Bible where the writer refers sometimes to the kingdom of heaven and other times the kingdom of God. Scholars consider these two terms to be interchangeable. It may be that Matthew was hesitant to write the name God for fear of violating the holiness of God's name, so he used the term kingdom of heaven here. But the question is, what is this kingdom that Christ spent most of his ministry proclaiming? The first thing we can say about the kingdom is that it is a present reality. One prominent Bible scholar estimates that of the 27 references to the kingdom of God or the kingdom of heaven in primary sources, that 18 imply a kingdom that is already here. In Luke chapter 17, verses 20 and 21, Jesus says, "The kingdom of God does not come with your careful observation, nor will people say, 'Here it is,' or 'There it is,' because the kingdom of God is within you." Is that news to you? Here is a primary defect in the discipleship of many believers. You see, we come to Christ. We accept Him as our Savior. We make a commitment to Him. And then we put our spiritual development on hold, waiting until that day we enter those pearly gates in the world to come. But remember, friends, wherever God is, there is heaven. And heaven is not a distant dream, but a present reality. The kingdom of God is the kingly rule of God in the hearts of believers. Where is God? He's in your heart. I simply cannot understand why there are so many sour Christians in our world. Have we not seen? Have we not heard? The kingdom of God is available to us here and now. We have found the great treasure. Some of us are like the old farmer who was always complaining about the insects or the weather or the low price at the market. Finally, a good year came in which all the conditions were favorable and the farmer brought in a bumper crop. "Well, you haven't made now," his friend said. "Well, it's fair," said the farmer. "Of course, a harvest like this is awfully hard on the soil. You see, even in prosperity, he found some negativism. You simply cannot please some people, and some people will never be satisfied." The kingdom of God is a present reality which is available to anyone who will receive it. That's the good news to us that is valuable. It's yours. It's ours. It's mine. And secondly, the kingdom of God is a precious relationship. Jeremiah foretold the coming of this kingdom hundreds of years before Jesus came upon the scene. In Jeremiah 31:34, he wrote, "No longer will a man teach his neighbor or a man his brother, saying, 'Know the Lord,' because they all will know me." The claim that we can know the God of all creation, the notion that we have direct access to Him, the teaching that Jesus gave us that God is like a loving Father to each of His children, is a statement of faith far beyond our feeble brains. Several years ago, the newspapers carried a human interest story about a little boy who was riding a bus across town. He was huddled close to a very nice dressed lady. And as little boys are, he was rather short, and his feet would not touch the floor of the bus. And so his feet were hanging over the edge, and he was swinging his legs. And in the process, he accidentally rubbed his shoe against a woman who sat across from him. And angrily, she protested to the lady next to him and said, "Pardon me, but would you make your little boy remove his dirty shoes from the seat?" Well, the well-dressed lady took a hard look at the youngster sitting beside her, as if she had never really been aware of him before, and giving him a shove, said, "He's not my boy. I never saw him before." Embarrassed, the little boy shrunk down in his seat, as if to try to shrink from view. It was obvious that he was fighting back tears. "I'm sorry," he said to the lady whose dress he had soiled. "I didn't mean to." But by that time, the lady who had the soiled dress was no longer angry. And she felt badly that she had responded in the way that she did. "That's all right," she said. "Are you going somewhere alone?" The little boy lowered his head and he said, "Yes, I always travel alone. My mommy and dad are both dead, and so I live with my Aunt Maggie. But when she gets tired of me, she sends me to live with Aunt Elizabeth." And the lady sympathetically said, "Are you on your way to Aunt Elizabeth's now?" And the child answered, "Yes, but Aunt Elizabeth is hardly ever home. I hope she is home today, though, because it's so cold." And the lady said, "You are sure young to be riding on this bus alone." "It's okay," said the boy. "I never get lost, but sometimes I get awful lonesome. So when I see someone I'd like to belong to, I sit real close to them and pretend that they are my family. And that's what I was doing when I got your dress dirty. I forgot about my feet." Well, that lady moved very close to that little boy and put her arms around him, because he just wanted so badly to belong to somebody. But isn't that the greatest need that all of us have? What is the kingdom of heaven except that knowledge that we belong to the family of God? Heaven isn't just jasper walls and streets of gold. Heaven is being in the presence of people who love God and in God's presence Himself. And then lastly, the kingdom of heaven, as we know it, is an imperfect representation. The kingdom of heaven, or the kingdom of God that we experience in this world, you see, is just a foretaste of that kingdom that is to come. There's a city whose builder and maker is God. The kingdom of heaven is not only present, but it's also future. And that is why Jesus told us to pray, as we did earlier, "Thy kingdom come." Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. There will come a time when the kingdoms of this world will become the kingdom of our God and will reign forever and ever with Him. And the privilege we have now is to prepare ourselves today for that great kingdom that is to come. That is why Paul could write that God was reconciling the world to Himself in Christ and has committed to us the message of reconciliation. 2 Corinthians 5:19. Christian writer Keith Miller has written about the reconciling work, in which he tells about a man named by the name of Jack, who had been a professional boxer. He was also had been a Marine. And Jack was far from a model husband and father, and he liked to party. But Jack came to one of Miller's meetings, and at the end of the conference, Jack went to a member of the staff and said, "I want to become a Christian. I want to be converted. What do I need to do?" Well, the staff member talked with Jack and suggested a few things he might now do in response to this decision. And one of which was to not tell anyone about his experience, but that he ease himself slowly into this new life. And about a month later, Jack came back and shared a most moving testimony. About a week after he had gone home, his 12-year-old son came to him with some real problems. He had no friends at school. He was never chosen for the sports teams. Recently, he had been caught stealing in his neighborhood. And he was talking to his dad, and he said, "Dad, what happened to you?" Well, Jack was embarrassed. And being a tough guy, it was not easy for him to talk about his feelings. With difficulty, but much joy, he shared with his son how Christ had come into his life and how Christ was helping him love people even more. And after a long silence, his 12-year-old son asked, "Do you suppose I could give my life to Jesus too?" And Jack was stunned, and they looked at each other as they embraced, which they had not done for some long period of time. And Jack said, "That night, my boy started being happy." About a week later, Jack left town on business. And when he flew back, there was his son, who never came to the airport to meet him, waiting to greet him. And as they met, he said excitedly, "Dad, do you know what God has done?" And Jack said, "No, what, son?" And with an expression of awe, the son replied, "Dad, God has changed every kid in my class." That father, you see, introduced not only his family to the kingdom of heaven, but also his son's class to the kingdom of heaven. The question is, has your family been introduced to the kingdom of heaven? How about your neighborhood? The place where you live? Let's be honest, most of us don't even know the names of our neighbors, let alone whether they are saved or lost. What about the people you work with, if you're still working? God will bring in His kingdom someday. In the meantime, however, He is calling us to prepare the way. And that is the most important task we have. We are the workers. We are the servants. And when we allow Christ to be Lord of our lives, we reorder our priorities. And what we once thought was so important, we suddenly realize is not as important as we thought. You see, Jesus takes priority in our lives. We have seen from that little things come much. And sometimes God's greatest gifts are totally unexpected. But having Christ in our lives is the greatest treasure of all. That's the good news of the day. And that is the message I leave you with, knowing that you are part of the kingdom of heaven. If you're here today and you're not a part of the kingdom of heaven, you can be, simply by accepting Jesus as your Savior and your Lord. I'd be happy to pray with you. I'll be here as we sing our closing hymn. This is our opportunity to become a part of that kingdom. Let's pray. Lord, thank you this morning for this privilege we have of sharing the good news. And thank you for the privilege we have of worshiping you and praising you. Lord, speak to hearts this morning. May each heart be satisfied that they are part of the kingdom of God. And we thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. I love thy kingdom, Lord, number 203. Shall we stand together as we sing? Clear before we go. Thank you again for this privilege. And now, Lord, as we depart from this place of worship, we go as a church scattered to share the good news, the love of Jesus Christ. Until we meet again, may your Spirit rest upon us and guide us in all things, and may you receive praise from our lives and from our lips. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.